Well, good morning, church. How are we doing this morning? I am really proud of you guys. You are bringing in the candy. You really are, and we appreciate it, and the kids appreciate it. We had the opportunity yesterday. It was kind of a last-minute opportunity, so we didn't want to put it out there and add to y'all's busy schedules, but Pastor Mary and I had the opportunity yesterday, and then Pastor Rick towards the end, to participate in the Indian Head Elementary School Resource Day, where they invited all the parents to come out, and there was a huge thing on the Village Green. Fran was there painting faces. It was awesome. But just for all the resources that are available to the family, the community in Indian Head as part of the community school. And can I tell you how awesome it was that the school invited Bridge Church to come and be a part of saying to parents in our community, here is a resource for you. Here's where you can turn for help. We couldn't do that without you. We couldn't do that without your buy-in. And we couldn't do that without, more importantly than your financial buy-in even, is your heart buy-in. And so I want to thank you for that. So today we are continuing in this series on first fruits. And Leonard stole the punchline. So you guys got your hearts all prepared, which was good, Leonard. Thanks for praying over that. I appreciate that. But today we're talking about bringing the first fruits of our income. And that can stir up a whole lot of emotions, so here's what I want to tell you up front. I am not going to guilt you. I am not going to make an emotional plea. I am not even going to challenge you to do anything but talk to God. I guess we are going to have a bottom line up front, right? Like, my only charge to you today is going to be to talk to God about this. But God has a lot to say about money and how we handle it, not just in our first fruits, and there's a lot of blessing involved in that. So we want to jump in. Can you put up that slide for me? What's it say? In God we trust. In God we trust. It's on every one of our printed bills. But do we? I mean, really? Do we? Because I would say that a really big problem, and not just within the church, like I'm not talking about Bridge Church, I'm talking about our nation, is that instead of entrusting our money to God, we struggle to trust God with our money. Luke 16:13, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Jesus' words, not my words. We must decide who we serve. Now, what I want to say up front is there is a lot of really bad teaching on money in the church. We're going to talk about some of that. We keep it real here at Bridge Church. We're not going to mess around. Like, I'm not going to dodge bullets. Like, we're just going to deal with it all, right? Jesus doesn't say you can't have money. Jesus didn't call us to be paupers. Jesus said you can't serve both God and money. You can't have two masters. So we have to choose who we will serve. The issue is this is completely counter to our culture. Completely counter to our culture. Everything that we learn in North America is based around the almighty dollar. Consumerism Commentary in July of 2019 published a study, and it showed the number one goal since 1989. Y'all, that's a while back. That's the year I graduated high school. I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm not ashamed of that. Like, it's a long time. Pastor Rick, you are older than me. Watch yourself. We said we keep it real. So, no, but since 1989, the number one goal of college students was to become experts in their field.
No.
No. Was to make a difference in the world.
No.
No. Since 1989, the number one goal of college students interviewed was to get rich. That is what culture teaches. And the problem with that, guys, is that riches aren't the answer. Let's not even go biblical first. Let's go Brad Pitt in a Rolling Stones interview 12 years ago where he's like, "I have it all. All is nothing. It doesn't matter. It's not worth it. It's not the answer." How about Jim Carrey, who said, "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer." Thankfully, we don't build our biblical teaching on the entertainment world. Let's look at 1 Timothy 6:9. It'll be on the screen behind me, but I want to read it to you because I want you guys to take it in. The number one goal of college students is to get rich. 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10 says, "Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money," not money, again, not having bad teaching here, not having inaccurate teaching. "The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." What strikes me in that passage is it says, doesn't even say they get pierced. It says that in the pursuit of riches, they pierce themselves. When we pursue the wrong thing, we hurt ourselves. So what's the goal? What's the goal with the wealth we have? What's the goal with the money that says in God we trust for a culture that doesn't? The goal of our lives should be to honor God. Amen, church? In all that we do. That's why we said First Fruits isn't about money. First Fruits wasn't the first sermon in the series. It won't be the last sermon in the series. Money isn't. But it's to honor God. Proverbs 3:9 says, "You honor God, the Lord your God, with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops." That's why we're talking about this in our First Fruit series. But can we keep it real? We have some problems with tithing. Like, can we just be honest? As a culture, we have some problems with tithing. Like, if we were playing Family Feud and the answers were popping up on the screen, right? Like, you guys were shouting out answers and the little thing was turning, right? What are some of the problems we have? Not we in the room. Let's talk about we in North America. I'll excuse all of us in the room. We're just shouting out what the average American says. We'll play Family Feud. What are some problems with tithing today? Trust.
The pastors won't buy an expensive car.
Pastors won't buy an expensive car. What else?
Making it last.
Don't have enough money, right? I did a lot of research this week, and the church websites say here are the top problems with tithing. People don't know why it's important. People don't know what's being done with their money. People don't have a knowledge or understanding of Scripture. People are struggling financially. They can't afford to tithe. People think it's just an Old Testament thing. There were various answers, but the last answer on every church website was people don't trust church leadership. I do pretty broad research. You want to guess what the number one answer was on every secular website about why people don't give to the church? It wasn't last, it was first. They lack complete confidence in the church's handling and allocations of their funds. More than 50% of churchgoers lack complete confidence in how the church handles their money. So before we even talk about bringing the first fruits, I want to give you guys a few fun facts about Bridge Church. We have and we are accountable to an actual budget. Like every month, all the receipts, every time one of us uses the church credit cards or turns in for reimbursement, the receipts, trust me, Rick hounds me for them because I'm bad at it. The receipts get scanned, they get processed. What category do they go into? It all comes out on that monthly report every month. Are we honoring our budget or not? We're accountable to a local church board made up of members of this church and some church leaders from the community as we're a developing church. And eventually, it'll be all of our folks that are on that board. Because we're a developing church, we also have to answer to the district board. We have an extra layer of accountability. Pastor Rick and I have no access to the money. Our names are not on a single bank account for Bridge Church. We could not, if we wanted to, go withdraw money. Those are all the little legalistic things. What I really want you to know that as a church, we tithe to God. As a church, the first 10% that comes in the door goes to missions, and about half of that goes to missions right in this local area. Pastor, and then the other thing is we invest in the kingdom. From the day we have opened the second 10%, has gone into the building fund so that when God calls us to make an improvement, to do something, to move, we are prepared. We have done the work. We have invested in doing that. I think the last thing I really want you to know, well, actually, there's two things. One, Pastor Rick and I never, ever, ever, ever look at individual tithing reports. We get a general tithing report that says, here's how much money came in this week from this many total people, and here's the average. That's all we see. We do not, and I don't believe we ever will, look at individual tithing reports. So if you don't, I don't want anybody to feel like the spotlight's on y'all. Y'all remember I make eye contact every week when I preach, right? I have no idea what you give or don't give. I don't look, I don't want to know. That's between you and God. The other thing I want you to know is we are not preaching this sermon from a position of difficulty. Like, this was on the schedule since March. We are in a good financial position as a church. We are not in trouble. We are making budget every month. We are bringing in. You know what? We need to be. We need to be growing because as a church plant, our goal is to reach a fully functional budget by the end of year three. Y'all know our total budget's like $168,000 a year. Most of your households wouldn't run on that. We're doing church with that. It's a good thing. We're getting more every year. It's good. But know that we are being incredibly intentional about the resources God provides in the kingdom. So when we look at first fruits, we want you to know that as Bridge Church, we bring first fruits. We honor God to the best of our ability. And I never, ever want you to feel like you can't trust the church. If you want a copy of the budget, the only thing you won't see is individual salaries. Salaries are on one line item. The budget is public knowledge. You guys can have a copy. We went over it in membership class. Are we all good? Y'all feel a little safe and secure. I guess you can't really say no at this point, but if you have a concern, if you're online and you have a concern, email me. If you're in the room and you have a concern, come see us after church. If there's a big line, take a number. I'll call you back later in the week. It's all okay, right? But we want you to know that we've got things in order to the best of our ability. We wouldn't ask you to do what we are not doing. So we all good? Here's the other thing. Things are so good financially. We have not been pressed that we just celebrated our second birthday as a church plant, and this is my very first sermon on tithing in 2 years. Can I tell you I owe you an apology for that? Not because we needed more money, but because handling money God's way brings tremendous blessing. It's a great joy, and it sorts out a lot of problems in life. So I'm sorry we haven't done this before. Know that just about every pastor is terrified of this sermon, but I owe you an apology. Because, y'all, there is freedom. Anyway, we're going to get there. So we all good? We ready to jump in with great enthusiasm? Yeah. All right. So we talked about the problem with tithing. Right? The problems, the family feud. What are the top answers? What are the problems? What are the problems with not tithing? If we go back to the Old Testament, and we will also be in the New Testament for those of you who are concerned, it's just an Old Testament thing. We'll get there. But if we go back to the Old Testament into the book of Haggai, I want to tell you, we're at a time where the nation of Israel has been sent into exile for 70 years. They've been called back. They've been back for about 17 years, right? They've been back in Jerusalem, this core group of people, and they've been busy building their houses, rebuilding their businesses. They've been busy trying to take care of themselves. What they haven't been busy with is rebuilding the temple. It is still in ruins from the Babylonian conquering of the area. The temple is still destroyed. So God sends a prophet Haggai to talk to them about it. And I want you to notice his number one thing is to, well, I'll get to that. Listen to this, Haggai 1, 5 through 9. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but have harvested little. You eat but you never have enough. You drink but you do not have your fill. You put on clothes but you are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. In other words, you strive and you strive and you strive and you strive and you never have enough. Does that sound familiar to anybody today? Does it sound like our North American culture today? If I could just get a little bit more, I'd be happy. If I could just earn a little bit more, if I could just buy a nicer purse, if I could just get a nicer house, if I could just get that fancy car. What did Jim Carrey say? Have it all, you'll find out it's not what you need. Jesus said, I'm what you need. We have to learn that we can't chase and strive after money. That's what Jesus meant when he said, you can't serve God and money, right? If money is the thing we're chasing, if money is the thing we're honoring, then we're never going to have the joy, and all our efforts are going to come up short. All their efforts, God tells them, you've planted a lot, but you haven't harvested very much. You bought a lot of food, but you're eating a lot of food, but you're never full. You're never satisfied, because satisfaction comes from the Lord. I want to keep reading. This is what the Lord Almighty says. There's a continual theme, like God is trying to make it clear. This is what I am saying to my people. Give careful thought, again, to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains in ruin while each of you is busy with your own house. Guys, God didn't have a problem if they were building nice houses. He had an issue because they were building nice houses and the temple was in ruins. He had an issue because their whole focus was on themselves and their focus wasn't on God. It was a problem. That's what happens when we don't bring God our first fruits. Our perspective gets out of whack and it causes a problem. They didn't listen to God's warning, and a decade or so later, God sends a second prophet named Malachi to talk to them. And that's where I really want us to read today and pull these teachings from, because God sends Malachi to teach them a few things about bringing their first fruits, and I think they're good lessons for us today. So you guys ready to read with me? All right. Let me step over here and let's read together. We're in Malachi chapter 3, by the way. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Tech team, I'm sorry, I'll stand over there next time. I heard the constants weak. God said, you are robbing me. How could God say we're robbing him? Because the Lord, the earth and all that's in it belongs to the Lord. And he's asked us to bring back a tenth of it. He's asked us to bring our first fruits. And when we don't do that, he says, look, guys, I have given it all to you to steward. I have given it all to you to care for. But here you are, and you're not bringing me anything. And you are literally stealing from me. The first truth of tithing I think we learn in this is that tithing protects my perspective. Because when we bring God our first fruits, we are reminded that he has got the first position in our lives. We are reminded that God is our master and not our dollar. We are reminded to pursue the right things and the righteous things. The whole you're robbing me thing, who's watched the Brady Bunch? Ever in your life, who's watched the Brady Bunch? Or some like English, like I used to watch Downton Abbey. I know it's so silly, but I lived in England, so I like it, right? And so like where there's a lord or a master over the house, like the head butler, or in the case of the Brady Bunch, it was Alice, right? What happened if Mr. and Mrs. Brady went away and Alice had a great big garage sale and sold all their stuff? Would that be okay? That's what God's saying to us. Y'all, I have given you my house to take care of. I have given you everything you need to live. You live in the midst of everything. But you can't use up all my stuff. Like, it's mine. You got to bring back. Tithing protects our perspective. Tithing also provides a plan. Like, some of us, we should all have a plan. Y'all, we talked about a couple weeks ago on a random comment. Like, if you don't have a budget, you're in trouble, right? You need a budget. You need a plan in your life. You need a plan on your education. You need a plan on all the things. We need a plan for most things. Malachi gives us a plan for tithing. It gives us position, percent, and placement. Position, God gets our first fruits. God comes first and the rest shakes out. You don't wait till the end to see what you got left. Can I tell you, that's like waiting until you're ready to have a baby. You're never gonna feel equipped enough, right? Even if you want one, there's always gonna be the fear. Position, first. Percent, tenth. Tithe literally means tenth. There's no dispute about that. It is literally the word for one-tenth. Placement. Oh, by the way, In the percent, in what's God's, that's why it says bring. Bring into the storehouse. See, we don't give God what already belongs to him. He has assigned the first 10%. Sometimes when you hear us pray over tithes and offerings, you'll hear us pray, Lord, we bring you our tithes and give you our offerings. Because above 10 is a gift, right? That's just some church language, but people get confused and ask. So we'll just settle it. Tithe, tenth, we bring. It belongs to God. Above that, gift, we give. Got it? Let's be Ollie. Get it? Got it? Good. All right. Mary will be so proud of us. Position, percent, and placement. Where do we bring it? We bring it to the storehouse. We bring it to the kingdom. Our tithe belongs to God, and we bring it to the work. Look, I listened to a lot of lectures. I did a lot of research. I've heard people go, it can only mean the local church. I've heard people say, it can never mean the local church. I've heard everything in between. You got to take care of the storehouse where you attend, right? Like, God's called us to be here. By the same token, like, someone came to one of the pastors at New Life years ago and was like, well, I only have this much money to live or to tithe, like this is my tithe, and I don't have any extra, but I really feel like I'm supposed to give to the local Christian radio station, but I don't want to get in trouble from God for not bringing my tithe. Well, you guys, it's not legalistic. Like, the tithe belongs to your church, belongs to the church, but it belongs to the kingdom. The church is part of the kingdom. So if you have those kind of questions, you can ask for counsel, but talk to God. He'll sort it out for you. Again, it's not a matter of legalism, but God calls us to bring into the kingdom. Position, percent, placement. Tithing provides a plan. Are we doing okay? All right. Big teaching today, like it's a teaching day. We're moving through this, right? Because we got to equip. Tithing also positions us for blessing. God said, test me in this and see if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven. Test me in this. Bring into the house what is mine and see if I won't bring you blessing. This is not a prosperity gospel. It is not a name it and claim it. I don't want anybody to hear that verse as bring in your tithe and you're going to get real rich real fast. Bring in your tithe and you can have that Lamborghini. Bring in your tithe and you can, let's downgrade it to some realism. Bring in your tithe, you can get your BMW or your whatever, right? That is not, it says, I will bless you. Blessing does not always come in the form of money. As a matter of fact, the best blessings don't come in the form of money at all. However, bringing our tithe does position us. And I want you to think of it like this. Football game, right? You have a football team. They're all there, and when the time for the play happens and they leave the line of scrimmage, the receivers go out. For those of you who don't do sports, they don't just go out anywhere. Well, unless they're our team, and then anyway. So sad. Fran, we'll commiserate later. But the receivers are supposed to run out to a particular place in the field, right? So the quarterback can throw to them. The quarterback already knows where they're supposed to be. When we bring our tithe into the house, we position ourselves. We put ourselves in front of God, and maybe we'll get the ball that week. Maybe we'll get a bonus that week. Maybe it'll be some other form of blessing. But we have positioned ourselves to receive God's blessing. It takes action on our part. Amen? The good news is, though, tithing provides protection. Later on in that verse 11, it says, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe. I will prevent destruction from coming. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance, but the enemy, the thief, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I want us to understand that tithing provides a protection. It's one of the few. God is not a genie in a bottle. Again, this is not a prosperity gospel. There are other factors, but this is one of the few places in Scripture where we get a, you do this and you got this. You bring your tithe in and I'm going to protect what you've got. I want you to think of it like this, because I think we read this sometimes and we think, well, that just means God wants to punish us. If we don't tithe, we have a promised punishment. No, that is not what it says. Everyone in this room has either had children or been a child. I know that. It's a biological fact, like it's scientific, right? Which means most of us have heard the phrase, my house, my rules. My house, my rules. I want you to think of this promise in that context, right? Why do parents give us rules? Because they hate us? To keep us safe? Why else? Guide us, raise us up, because they hate us or because they love us? Because they love us, right? God gives us rules because he loves us. Can we put up that first slide? Yep. See, God says, my house, my rules, but it's all out of love. When we bring our tithe, when God says, bring your tithe in, see if I won't bless you, see if I won't, I will, God says, prevent devouring of your crops and all these things. It's like we take our tithe, and when we take our tithe into the house, can you put up the next slide? It moves our money up under the my house, my rules, and in that we have the protection of God. So no matter what the storms are outside, we have some covering and we have some protection because we have chosen as adult children to still honor God's rules. Hear me. When the prophets give the Israelites these words about tithing, they already have all the other rules about money. Y'all, to this day, Jewish people manage their money incredibly well. It is ingrained into their culture as a generality, but it is true. Israel stands firm on finances. Like, God taught people from the beginning, money is more talked about than any other thing in Scripture. Taught them how to manage their money. So when he says, do this, bring my tithe, I'll protect you, they already have all the other rules in place. We don't even teach our kids how to write a check in school anymore. As North Americans, as Americans, we don't have all the other financial rules in place. We recognize that. It's why one of the, can't give God my money because my money is all over the place and I can't manage it at all. I am so underwater. I am so in debt. So I want you to understand when God says, bring in the tithe and I'll protect, all the other things still apply. That's part of the equipping and teaching. It's why we did Dave Ramsey class last year. It's why we'll do it again in January, right? Because we got to teach ourselves what God says. It's also not like this get out of jail free card, right? Like, I know nobody around here. Like, okay, so my best friend growing up in Florida, she was from, her family was from New Jersey, and it was really funny because one of her uncles was a New Jersey police officer and the other uncle was in the mafia. It was great. She had so much fun. Like, separate parents, it was bad. Anyway, things you find out as a child that your parents wish you never knew, right? You can't be Italian Catholic mafia and bring your tithe to the Catholic Church and expect that God is going to protect all your illegal behaviors with your money. We can't expect to bring God our tithe, but then just do whatever else we want, and it's all going to be great, and he's going to protect it. That's not how it works. That's a fairy tale. That's fiction. Are we okay? But I can tell you There is a literal protection and blessing that comes over your finances when you honor God and do it his way. The fifth lesson that we pick up from Malachi is that tithing is part of our testimony. He said, I will pour out so much blessing there will not be enough room to store it. Okay, part one, that means there's overflow. There's overflow that goes into the community. There's overflow that goes to the families around us. There's overflow. But more explicitly, he said, then all the nations will call you blessed because you are in a delightful land. You see, our testimony, let's see if you guys can finish this catchphrase. Put your money where your mouth is. Part of the problem in the greater church at large is that we all want people to believe Jesus with their lives, but we don't understand that they look at us and think we don't believe Jesus for our money. Like, you want me to trust Jesus with my life, but you won't trust Jesus with your checkbook. So what am I supposed to trust Jesus with my whole life for? Quiet in the house. In God we trust. Not only that, but there is overflow. One of the reasons we were invited to participate in the Resource Day yesterday as a church is because we've honored God with our tithes and the overflow has provided for the community around us. When God sent the Israelites into exile, he said, I want you to make them a better people. I want you to do business, do well, make their space better, make their cities better, go do and be all that I've called you to do and to be, because the nation around you should prosper because you are in it. Tithing is part of our testimony. The bottom line, you guys, in this Malachi verse is that bringing God our first fruits is an act of obedience that honors God and is an act of worship. And it's got all these benefits. But if I teach you, I listened to a couple sermons this week. Let me teach you how to get all the benefits Jesus offers. Obedience and worship. Are we okay?
Yes.
We good? Okay. The other thing I want us to know is bringing God our first fruits may be an act of obedience, but it is not a payoff. We are not bribing God. We are not paying penance for our sins. And bringing our tithe does not excuse bad behavior in other areas of our lives. Actually, I want to turn to the words of Jesus, and I want to invite you to read with me. It's, Jesus is talking to some people who are doing all the tithing, right? We have Jesus as this meek, mild guy in our minds. He's so not. Read Matthew 23, verses 23 and 24 with me. I'm going to sit down this time. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have preached the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. Anybody ever been running and swallowed, or bike cycling and swallowed a bug? And sometimes it's a bigger bug. It's so gross. Jesus said, you strain out a gnat and you swallow a camel. Jesus turns to these guys and said, well, first of all, Jesus didn't get rid of the tithe. Everybody saw that, right? Like, Jesus didn't eliminate the tithe in the New Testament. But he said, there's so much more than the tithe. You guys are so legalistic. You're not just, you know, when I say tithe on your crops, you're doing that. You're literally going through your dried spices and bringing a tenth of those to the temple. But in the midst of that, where's your justice? Where's your mercy? Where's your faithfulness? What are you going to do about that? Because without justice and mercy and faithfulness, your tithe means nothing. You're just a bunch of hypocrites choking on a camel. And it goes back to our very first sermon on first fruits with Cain and Abel. It's not the what, it's the why. It's an issue of the heart. We talked a little bit about the difference between tithes and offerings. You got your tithes in, that's great. But what about the children that need adopted? What about the candy that needs to come in? What about the extra things? What about the social justice issues that God cares about? What are you doing with those? You see, first fruits are still an issue of the heart. And heart is not measured in dollars. Heart is measured in sacrifice. Jesus, in another spot in Scripture, he's scolding the Pharisees again for all the fancy stuff they have, but wasting the widow's house, wasting the tithes that are brought in. And then he turns and he sees this widow in the temple, because in the temple there would be lined up these different 12 different areas to give money, right? And in the midst of that, they're all coming in their fancy robes and making a big display. I'm going to take all my gold and I'm going to drop it in the bucket. See me? And this widow who's got nothing, she comes in, and it says she comes in with 2 mites, which is a half a penny. And she brings it over, and it's all she's got. She puts it in. And Jesus said her gift from her lack is so much more than your gift from your abundance. Because at the core of it all is giving is an issue of the heart. The heart is not measured in dollars. It's measured in sacrifice. I know that's a lot of heavy stuff. So let me give you some good news again. Like we had some good news in Malachi, right? Let's get some more good news. We cannot outgive God. The God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the God who owns it all, we cannot outgive God. God desires to give his children good gifts. That does not mean a Lamborghini or a Porsche or whatever, but God desires to give his children good gifts. And sometimes it does mean those things, by the way. This is a side, not even in my notes, but Dave Ramsey's talking about this one time. Like he is counseling someone who is a professional athlete who makes, you know, he's in the millions and millions and millions and millions range, right? And he really wants this nice car, but he feels guilty. And he's like, what do you feel guilty for? You're giving like 25% of your income. God doesn't mind if you have a really nice car because you're providing so much over here. It's okay, right? In Luke 6:38, Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That's one of those scriptures that we like read and it's nice words and we kind of focus on give and it'll be given to you. But I want to give you guys the word picture here. Because all the words gone, tongue twisted. This was a farming culture. And they were familiar with the practices of weighing out grain and doing things. So Jesus says the same measure, if your measure is a bag, you bring a bag and you give it. The same will be measured to you, except, he says, it will be pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Think about a bag of potato chips when it first gets to the store, how it seems like the whole bag is full, right? But if you get one of those bags that's been on the shelf a while and then it makes it to the bottom of your groceries and then it's in the cabinet for a while, if Pastor Rick didn't find it and it doesn't get eaten the first 2 days, right, then there's a bag you pull out after about a month and it feels like it's only half full because it's been shaken down, pressed down, shaken. And Jesus says, you bring this measure to me and I'm going to give the same measure back to you, but I'm going to press mine down. And I'm going to shake it so I can put in more. And I'm going to continue to fill it till it's overflowing. Church, we can't outgive God. His generosity is always greater than ours. And when it comes to money, money is not evil. Money is a tool that can equip us in the abundant life Jesus calls us to have. But it cannot be our master. Now, I made you a promise when we started this lesson on money. That I wasn't going to make an emotional plea to you. We're not taking up a second offering. There are some really exciting things we're going to tell you about over the next couple of weeks that are on the horizon. We're not even talking about them today because today isn't about you writing checks. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. I told you up front, the only thing I'm going to ask you to do this week about this is talk to God. That's it. I do want to share with you personally, because if we go back, what was the number one reason people don't give to the church? On the secular websites, not the church websites that like to dress it up. What was the number one reason people don't give to the church? Don't trust the church, right? So I already told you all the practices we have in place. Let me tell you personally what this message means for us. And it's a message Pastor Rick and I have been learning for a lot of years. We have been tithing for years. We did it before, long before we were pastoring, and I will tell you, it was a tough decision. We didn't reach the decision at the same time. If you are married, you guys got to come to this together, right? We didn't reach the decision at the same time, and we waited until we were both on board. We could tell you a million, okay, that's an exaggeration. This is not the day for exaggeration. We could give you dozens of testimonies about God's faithfulness as we have given our best to God, as we have brought our first fruits. We show you that within the church. We are getting ready to take a really big step of entrusting God with it all. We'll tell you about that in a couple weeks too. Teaser, I know. Let me tell you as a church what this message means to us. We will continue to tithe 10% to missions. More than half of that going into the local community, mostly the elementary school and the grocery store project. We will continue to tithe back to God's to do above. We will continue to invest in building his kingdom. We will continue to put 10% in the building fund. Because just like in Haggai, it's okay for us to build our house, but we got to build God's house first. I want to be real with you guys. That 20% as a church plant, you guys, most of you know our staff didn't start at regular salaries. We knew we wouldn't. We weren't a funded church plant. We had a goal to be at full salaries in 3 years because we got to take care of God's house. We got to take care of the people. We got to take care of the community. If we took the 20% out of missions and building fund, we could have started with full salaries the very first day. But that's not what the Word of God says to do. It says to build God's house and to not neglect being faithful, not neglect justice, not neglect mercy. And so as a church, we will continue to do that. We will also equip you. Again, we're never looking at your tithing records. We don't do that for individuals. But we do know that unlike the Israelites who were schooled up on how to handle their money from the beginning, our kids and our culture don't learn that. We as adults in our culture don't learn that. We learn to spend more than what we have. That's the message we're taught when God says spend less than what you have. We as a nation are facing an epidemic of indebtedness because we can't live by our means. So as a church, our responsibility is to equip you. And we will do two things. There's a sign-up sheet out there for you guys. One, we're coming up on Christmas, and I don't know about you. I'm not going to speak for you. I know when we had three young boys at home, Christmas was a time where we decided how much we were going to spend on the credit card to make the kids' Christmas great before God got a hold of us. Some of us need to stop the bleeding, and before we get to Christmas, you just need a basic budgeting class. And so Pastor Rick and I are going to offer a two-night basic budgeting class if you're interested in that. We will not look at your individual numbers unless you invite us into that. That's not what's required. But we will give you basic biblical budgeting principles that will dig you out of any hole that you may be in or begin to dig you out. We will also in January offer another financial peace class. I'm going to be really transparent with you guys. As a human being, Dave Ramsey gets on my nerves a little bit. He's a little loud, he's a little obnoxious, he's a little mouthy, he could use a little more love in his truths. He's a big personality that's just a little for me. But he's not a pastor, he's a teacher on money, and he does a better job than anyone I've ever heard taking every biblical principle in here and putting it into a plan to get you debt-free. I can tell you that 8 years ago, 8 years ago? Nine? When were you in Afghanistan? Not too long ago, Rick and I had a good bit of debt. We had credit cards, we had car payments, we had house. And I can tell you, no more credit cards, bought the last two vehicles cash, used cash, by the way, paid off the house. I can tell you that when we work God's plan, not Dave Ramsey's plan, he's put it together, but when we work God's plan, then we can live in freedom, and freedom is important. Because has anybody ever felt suffocated by debt? You don't have to raise your hands, fearful that you wouldn't, your paycheck wouldn't stretch far enough. So how are we going to call you guys to bring your first fruits to God if we don't teach you how to manage the whole 100% according to God's word, not our opinion? I have a testimony video, and I think I'm going to save it for a sermon at the end of the series. Look at me. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. I can promise you, if you serve God and put it in order according to his word, you will not be lacking. You will walk in freedom. If you need help with that, sign up for the budget class. We can teach it because we've been there and it's been taught to us a couple times. But the bottom line, guys, first fruits of our income, bringing God our first fruits. Y'all, I took my glasses off. You're going to have to put the slide up there. Maybe we have a bottom line. There we go. Bringing God the first fruits of our income is an act of obedience and worship, and it brings perspective and protection and blessing to our lives. And at the end of the day, we're never looking at what you give. That's between you and God. The choice, however, is yours. Shawnee, would you come up and pray for us, please? We good, church?
Yes.
How about we stand up for this one?
If you would, pray with me. Father, this morning, our hearts are laid bare. And we take this opportunity to ask you to examine them for us. You know our intentions. You know what we hope to be able to do. You know that our heart's desire is always to honor you in everything. And so first, God, we confess where we haven't really, we haven't yet, whatever areas that you've pointed out to us. And so as Pastor Jen asked us this morning, God, our prayer is that we're committed this week to have a conversation with you about it. And God, we commit to listen. And then, God, we ask for your help in obeying whatever it is you say to us. Thank you that you are a God of grace who is not legalistic. And so, God, we again plan to hear what you have to say to us and then ask for your help in doing it. Because more than anything else, more than the sacrifice, we want to please you. In Jesus' name we pray.